This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, you're listening to Enterprise with me, Angeline T. Dream Village Football Academy runs a football program to connect with children from the marginalized community. The social enterprise dreams to nurture the dreams in young players on and off the field. They do that by building not just the art of football skills, but more importantly, the heart and spirit of players. With us today, we have the founder of DVFA, Samuel Siu, to tell us more about this social enterprise.
We focus on skills, first of all, because we believe that every player that comes to academy, we believe that they can be good footballers. Through football, they can go as far as they can dream of. Because without the skills, we really believe that we want to train them with the modern techniques, you know, like the best and latest trend in terms of, you know, how to do different shots and stuff like that. So we really want to excite the players through the skills that we can offer to teach them. Then, of course, with the skills, we focus on spirit, because what is skills without spirit, right?
Yeah.
So we really want to teach them to have better attitude, have good teamwork, have fair play against racism, and, you know, just have a good spirit. So with great skills comes great spirit. We believe that it's not just about, you know, themselves, but we want to bring them to the third S, which is social, where we believe that, hey, now it's not just about how good you are, what people think about you, but it's how can you now, you know, rub shoulders with others, how can you help others? We believe that we want them to go beyond a gadget and social media-centered world today, where we want them to get in touch with people more rather than their devices, you know. So, And part of that is also we want to instill the social values in them, such as like bringing them out to Gotong Royong, you know, do some community work a little bit here and there.
Okay.
And the last one is studies. And we believe that, you know, academy, through studies, we believe that we want them to excel in academic, in their knowledge.
So essentially your program revolves around the four S's you mentioned, which is skill, spirit, social, and studies.
Yeah.
So I guess it's something that gets the parents really excited with it as well, because it's kind of a holistic view.
Yeah.
But how did you even first of all get into setting up Dream Village Football Academy? I mean, are you a football fanatic yourself?
Yeah, I definitely am. I'm a passionate football fan, hashtag Man United. And being passionate for sports, especially football, I'm also passionate for the young people, you know, the underprivileged and marginalized community.
Why? Where did this come from?
Well, I guess it's really, I think more like when I was as young as 7 years old, I can remember, like, you know, like my love for football was there. But as I grew up, throughout the years when I was young, I have seen myself not being able to have the same opportunity that I can give today, you know, like the opportunity to go further one step from school level and, you know, just having a platform where people can believe in me, people can dream together with me, which I don't have when I was young. So it kind of inspired me today to do the same for the young people, especially for the community and the marginalized people.
What was it like when you were 7 years old?
Well, when I was 7 years old, I really wanted to be like David Beckham, you know. I can see myself playing for Manchester United and really just go as far as I can dream of. But truth to be told, as you grow up, things get tougher and tougher. The dreams get further and further away till you kind of like settle down for like, hey, you know what? I probably just going to be a good FIFA player, you know, like kind of thing.
So before you set up this academy, you said you were engaged with communities. When was that, the engagement with the community, with football specifically, right? Why have you decided to do that?
Yeah, so back in 2011, I was approached by an NGO called AYA, stands for Asian Youth Ambassador. So they had this community outreach program, and they were looking for someone with the football knowledge, you know, someone who knows how to play football, to reach out and go and connect with the groups of young boys there. Immediately, they thought of me because, you know, my passion for football. And so
you do play as well.
Yeah, I do play as well. So they kind of got me on board. Saturday morning, there's nothing else better to do as a campus student besides sleeping, right, on Saturday morning. So I kind of like, you know, great, I'm just going to play football, I'm going to get to know more people. So I went to the first community. My heart kind of like, sort of like, you know, like being touched, not to the fact where, you know, like how good I am and teaching them kind of thing, but very touched by how I get to know them, you know, in person. Like they come and shake my hand, they come and hug me, they share with me their life kind of thing.
Which community is this?
This was in the Kampung Muhibah in Puchong. Yeah, one of the low-cost slack. So I guess that stirred my heart a little bit more for the community and started off from that place. I started to then work with a team of people and I started seeing more volunteers coming in, more campus students coming in. Through that, there was also another need then to go to a new community that NGO is reaching out to, which is in Kampung Pandan. And with the opportunity came to start up another football program. So I left for all the right reasons, you know, to kind of like passing on the baton to the current coaches, go to the new place, plan again and connect again with the new groups of marginalized community children there. Of course, different communities have different issues that they face. Like for Kampung Pandan, their challenge could be different than the other community. So from there, we went on to another two more communities in the following years.
So when you say like different communities have different issues and challenges, could you just give me more examples?
Sure. One of the stories that come about the first community that we went in, Kampung Wiba, was really where you can see them, different races coming together and a lot of fights happening. And, you know, there is a futsal court just right smack in the middle of where they stay. And with those problems, especially like racism, like, you know, a particular race will hang out with a particular race. That shows that football can, you just put a ball there, no matter what language, no matter what race you are, it brings them together. So for Kampung Wiba, the main issue that we were looking at was how can we bring them together despite, you know, different races. So that was the focus for the second community in Kampung Pandan. Most of them are actually very poor, sort of like the poorest of the poor, because they were stuck in the middle of nowhere. We call it no man's land, you know, like when they have problems, they go to Selangor and Selangor say, oh, it's not my problem. Then they go to KL and KL say, oh, it's not my problem. So because they really located right in the middle of both sides. In between, you know. And it's sort of like a slum area. Many stories happened there. Like one kid was trying to fly a kite and, you know, like got electrocuted. So a lot of these problems, a lot of drugs problems, a lot of, you know, raping cases and just crazy stuff happening there. But again, the power of football came in where, you know, we sort of like bring them out from the slum area every Saturday, sort of like, you know, when they come on the field, give them a new sense of hope, knowing that I want to be here more than I want to be at home kind of thing, you know. So that was the second one. And of course, the third and fourth one, which is quite similar, is also more like the opportunity for them to dream bigger dreams. Like they could be having a mediocre kind of mindset. Like they settle down with who they are. But again, through our football program there, we started seeing them believing in themselves more, pushing them like, hey, you know, you can be the next national player, you can be this, you can be this. All you need to do is work harder, believe in your dreams. So I guess that was the focus for our third and fourth community, where we kind of like want to break that mindset of settling for what it is, but believing that there is more ahead of them.
Okay, and then what made you decide to set up DVFA? When you say academy, it's a proper business model now, right? Where students actually pay to join your programs. How did you see the opportunity for you to set up this business?
So the heart behind setting up Dream Village Football Academy was really birthed through passion and, of course, football and, of course, for the people. So one fine day, I was having a chat with my co-founder, Kenneth Chin. So both of us, we kind of like talk about, hey, you know what, let's start a football academy and let's not depend on donations. Let's not just worry so much about where the funds are going to come in, but let's believe in what we do. Like, what we have with our program is just amazing. I mean, because he's seen most of the work that I do on the field. And he kind of like pushes me and say, hey, you know what, I think we can make this work. And with the program that we have, we started coming up with the idea of like, hey, let's start a football academy, believing in the 4S that I mentioned earlier, and let's just try it out. So back in 2014, we started off with a soccer clinic because we also had like two friends from Brazil that came. So with that friends from Brazil kind of like helped us elevate a little bit about the soccer clinic. So we saw like 80 students that came for our launch.
For the very first one.
Yeah, for the very first soccer clinic with our, you know, Dream Village Football Academy.
Were you expecting 80 people though?
Not really. But with the Brazilians there, maybe. But yeah, I mean, that was a glimpse to what's to come. Then in 2015, the real test came.
That's right. Up next, we'll find out more how they managed to acquire customers or kids to sign up for the Football Academy. In the studio with us today, Samuel Siu, founder of DVFA on Enterprise BFM 89.9.
Break from midfield. BFM 89.9.
We're back on Enterprise with me, Angeline Tay. We have the founders of Dream Village Football Academy, DVFA, Samuel Siu with us. He's volunteered to draw different football programs for marginalized community within the Klang Valley and realized that there's a potential to build a business model around it. They first launched their website in 2015 with minimal marketing, and this was what happened.
We started off with our academy. I roll out the website, the Facebook page, share the word of mouth. Really have no expectation on what's to come. Like, I still remember the first day where, you know, everything started going out in terms of registration. I kind of like wonder, like, hey, actually, who will sign up? You know, yeah. There are so many football academies out there. Why us? You know, why do they even care about our 4S? You know, but then we started seeing calls coming in. We started receiving emails. We started seeing people messages on Facebook.
So how did that happen though? I'm sure did you invest in social media marketing, or how did, you know, sometimes when you have a website go live but nobody knows your website actually exists, right?
Yeah.
So how did that happen?
For a start, I didn't invest much in terms of like SEO and stuff like that, social media, but I just go based on word of mouth. Like, hey auntie, you know, you got how many children, what are your children doing on Saturday morning? You wanna come play football kind of thing? So the goal was really trying to reach the paying students, I would say, because the foundation to start off the academy was really, we need to sustain, right? We need the profits to come in. So that's why the first season, our target was really like, hey, we're just going to go to as many people as we can and try to see how many comes back. And all these are paying students.
And now you're at season number?
Four.
Number four.
Yeah.
So is it 1 year per season?
Three months per season. So 1 year, we are looking at two seasons. Yeah.
Okay. I remember you told me earlier, the first season you had 17 students.
Correct.
And then second season sort of almost doubled.
Correct.
To 26.
26. 26 and then we had 80.
80. 26 to 80. That's four times more.
Yeah, four times more. This is also partly because we started involving the community children to come on board. And the current season that we have 120 students. And out of the 120 students, 40 are community students. So which means 80 paying students since then.
Yeah. Okay. And how do you see this as a social enterprise?
Yeah. So what happens is that when parents sign their children up, the paying students will be the one sustaining the program, sustaining the academy in that sense. Like, where does the fund goes to? The fund goes to equipment, goes to coaches' allowance, goes to transportation, goes to events and just different things, etc. So with these funds that comes in from the paying students, we are also able to then serve the and involve the community children, like the 40 of them. When they come in, we will get them a new set of jerseys. And that's how we roll in that sense, where paying students sustain the program, we get to help and involve more community children who don't have the chance to even afford this program.
And so where is this located at the moment?
Yeah, currently we run at Sunway University football field. So we managed to strike a deal with Sunway University.
Yeah, sponsoring the field.
Yeah, sponsoring the field for free. Because it's really a challenge to find a football field, first of all. And Sunway University's football field is one of the best right now in Subang Jaya. What we had to offer was that we can bring in our program and our people in terms of our coaches. And Sunway was more than happy to do it because in return for them to give us the field for free, they get to mobilize their student volunteers to catch the heart and, you know, just come and support the work, the community football program. So we struck a deal with them and it has been growing ever since. And we have seen the volunteers very excited to come. We have seen parents as well. Very excited coming to the field, and we have seen all the community children coming to the field very happy and just even have bragging rights, you know, to tell their friends like, hey, you know, I'm here, you know, taking selfie at the field at some university, which kind of like something that they probably wouldn't have the opportunity to do it.
So when you say that right now the 120 students, 40 are from the community, how do they, which community are they from and how do they actually get to this field?
Yeah, so what happens on a Saturday is that this community will, the community that we have engaged with before, like the most recent community that we engaged in 2015 was Angsana, USJ1. So this group of boys that comes to our program, we kind of like bring them to our program. So 20 of them comes to our weekend program and the other 20 are from the Orang Asli community. This Orang Asli community is from Kota Kemuning. What happens is that we will mobilize the volunteers to drive the van all the way every morning on Saturday to pick them up and, you know, ferry them to the field.
And this is all incurred under the revenue you generate from
Correct.
The students who actually pay for the programs.
Yeah.
Could you give us more a better view of the programs that you run? So you say there's 12 weekends per program. What happens in that 12 weekends?
One season of 3 months, we have 12 sessions to 14 sessions around there. So in this 12 session, what we do is that we have breakdowns of like different skills. Like week one would be passing, week two would be dribbling, week four would be like nutrition, getting someone to come and share with them about, you know, nutrition, why is it important, using fun football elements, you know. And as well as we also have like the social elements of it, where we bring all of the academy players go out to do some gotong royong, to clean up some recreational park and stuff like that. And of course, we add in the most exciting part for the children, which is the tournaments, friendly matches and stuff like that. So all in all, the session that we conduct, the last session will be the community football festival.
Okay.
So at the end of every season, we will always end our session with community football festival, where we kind of like involve other communities that don't have the chance to have this program to come and just even enjoy a fun time of festival together.
Okay, and so the 120 students are there together at the same time.
Correct.
There's a lot of people on one field.
Yeah, it is. You know, the football field is big enough to accommodate all of them. In fact, still can accommodate more. So what we do is that when it comes to the field, we break them up into different groups. You know, like the because our academy focuses on 4 years old to 16 years old. So when they come on the field, we sort of like break it out into, you know, under 6, under 8, under 10, all the way to under 16. They have their own groups of friends. They have a group to belong, and the field is able to accommodate that.
So how much is the fee to join these programs?
To join this program, our fee is ranging from 250 to 350 per season of 3 months.
Okay.
So ranging according to the age as well. So yeah, it's as simple as that.
Okay. Has there been an issue in terms of bringing, you know, you said you have the marginalized community, for example, like the Angsana on Orang Asli, where you bring into the field together with children, I guess, from a middle class income parents, right? Is that a problem to sort of merge these two communities together on the field?
Yeah. Well, at first, that was some of my thoughts was also real thoughts, you know, like, yeah, will there be a problem? How would the parents think about seeing them coming, being part of the program? But truth to be told, that's not the case. I have seen parents are happy with that. I have seen how you know, the paying student working well with the community children. And in fact, I believe that both of them needs each other, because, you know, like the paying students will be the ones sustaining the program, and how the sort of like the community children can rub shoulders, rub skills with the paying students. And I have seen a lot of friendship being built. I have seen even paying parents are, you know, like very excited to send their children to, you know, rub shoulders with them and just even get to know new friends, which they can't have all this back in their school or, you know, where they come from. I think there are a lot of stories that there are a lot of good stuff happening, and, you know, seeing new friendship born and just amazing things that comes together when both blends in. Yeah.
Okay. And you are the founder, right, of Dream Village Football Academy. I was just wondering, you told me you're working for this full time.
Yeah.
You know, as a founder and looking at this as a business, what are the worries that, you know, keeping you up at night? You know, is it the balance sheet? Is it the cash flow? What is it that's keeping you up at night?
I guess what's keeping me up at night will be sort of like the consistency of maintaining that spirit of excellence that our academy has. Like, I'm trying to drive the academy to the next level. Like, as the quantity grows, can my quality, you know, goes along with it?
Yeah, from 17 to 120.
Yeah.
That's 100 times of growth.
Yeah, so a lot of thoughts comes in terms of the quality of the coaches as well, because not only the number of players increase, the number of coaches have to increase as well. So in terms of the number of coaches increase, I would need to sort of like prepare more resources. How can I then organize more workshop for just the coaches to equip them, to challenge them, to encourage them, you know, do like team buildings and stuff like that. So I guess my focus is really more on like, how can I prepare a team that is ready to serve more people, as well as how can we expand not just one location, but can we go and reach more communities and impact more communities out there. So I would say one of the things that I'm thinking of is really just maintaining the quality, and And as we go, can we reach more communities?
Okay. Yeah. So I guess it's have setting up a program to train coaches. So then you can have more coaches to train more students.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the plan.
Up next, we'll find out what are their future plans. Founder of Dream Village Football Academy, Sam, will see you on Enterprise. BFM 89.9.
Barcelona, Fiorentina, Manchester United, BFM 89.9.
You're tuned into Enterprise with the co-founder of Dream Village Football Academy, Samuel Siu. Now, what are your plans to expand this social enterprise?
Well, I believe DVFA is all about people building people. And one of our plans is really just seeing how, you know, we can, with the program that we have and the people that we have, and not to mention the ability for us to reach more volunteers and stuff like that to join us in this. All we need is the right partners, and we are looking at new locations that we can go to, bring our program there and our people there to sort of like plan and use the same thing that how we started with the community before the academy, to do something the same. So that is part of the plan. Mm. And continue to expand, you know, the resources, expand the people,
yeah,
the program.
At DVFA, looking at this as a business alone, in order to scale this, you need more people, right?
Yeah.
Which means more labor, and it's quite a difficult model to duplicate as well.
Correct.
Yeah. Do you have any ideas already on how you can, you know, do this more seamlessly?
Yeah, I guess because our program, right, we have coaches that are mostly very willing to coach, and of course we prefer them knowing how to play football. But of course we also have volunteers and coaches that really want to come in and just spend their Saturday morning, you know. So what we do is that we kind of like think of a way of how can we equip them with the right workshops, maybe like send them from different courses. And with that, when they come back, they are able to also tag along with different volunteers. Mm. So when they tag along with different volunteers, the volunteers will then catch the heart and learn. And through that, we are able to raise up a bigger pool of coaches.
Okay. And also, congratulations on obtaining a registration with the Sports Commissioner of Malaysia earlier this year.
Thank you so much.
So what does that entitle you? I mean, by getting this registration, what does this mean?
It helps us to be certified, first of all. But it definitely adds weight to who we are as a registered sports body. Yeah, I think parents, when they see that you are registered with the government, it definitely helps, you know, elevate the image of the academy and the club as well.
But there are also a lot of other academies in town, right?
Yeah, there are a lot.
Yeah, other soccer academy. And do you find it stressful, the fact that there are also other competitors?
Not really, because I guess the focus was really, you know, I mean, it's been birthed out of passion and it's been birthed out of serving the community as well, as much as the paying students. And with that in mind, with that in, is part of our objective. And I guess if we continue believing in our program, continue believing in what we can do to impact the community, that is what we are focusing on. And there's not much of stress and pressure from, you know, other academies out there.
Okay, and could you tell me more about the team behind DVFA?
My co-founder is Kenneth Chin, so he's kind of like the guy that will pushes me and, you know, encourage me to go further.
He's a business guy, lah.
He's not really a business guy, but because he's one of the director of the NGO that I mentioned earlier, AYA. And I guess through his experience, he really believes in young people as well. And that kind of like rub off me as well. And so I caught that from him. He will always, you know, cheer me on and give me the freedom to dream big and do big things. So with that, I'm able to today have a group of like 15 part-time coaches that comes in on Saturday. So these 15 part-time coaches, right, they are really normal people. Some of them are working people, some of them are campus students, but with great passion for football and really just wanting to give back to the community on a Saturday morning. And I also have a part-time staff right now, and I intend to, of course, have more internship programs that I can raise up more coaches and, you know,
trainers. Sounds like it's still a one-man show for you.
For now, yes, it is. But, I guess it's about time for me to expand myself as well, to duplicate myself more so that I can do more things as well.
Okay. Is there a reason why you call it Dream Village?
Yeah, I guess it all birthed forth through a dream, you know. Like, I myself seen my dream come true from a 7-year-old wanting to, you know, play for Manchester United and, you know, becoming like the next David Beckham. But because that dream sort of like died down, but because of the opportunity and the favour that I got from the English FA back in 2014, kind of like revived the whole dream kind of thing for me. And I have seen that it works. As long as you work hard for it, you continue believing in your dream, it will happen. So it happened for me, and therefore, I guess for me and my co-founder, we believe that, hey, dreams do come true and all things are possible, you know. And we believe that there's also a saying that says it takes a village to raise a child. So therefore, Dream Village means that dreams, that all things are possible when a child steps onto the field, regardless if it's a football academy or it's a school or if it's a different other social enterprises, this dream can happen in this village for that particular kid. And that's the reason why we call it Dream Village Football Academy.
Okay, so I mean, the fact that you used to have a dream of becoming a David Beckham equivalent, yep. But what is your dream right now?
Wow, that's a tough question, I guess. I guess the dream will continuing to birth out more dreamers, I would say, like being a head coach for Dream Village Football Academy, and my passion still runs in my blood in terms of football. And the passion for young people, the passion for the marginalized community. I guess my dream will be continuing to inspire more people to dream, dream big, inspire more people to believe that, you know, like as long as they work hard for it, they can achieve their dreams. And I guess that will be my dream, you know, to continue to expand more and help more people to dream.
Okay, and for people who want to find out more information about Dream Village Football Academy, what should they do?
They can log on to our website. It's www.dreamvillagefa.com. Hmm. They can check us out on Facebook.
The next season is starting?
The next season will start in July to October. And you can check us out on our Instagram page as well, Dream Village FA. It's maintained by our players, so you get to see all the cool pictures and stuff like that. Yeah.
All right, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much, Angeline.
Samuel Siu, founder of Dream Village Football Academy. If you missed out part of this interview, the podcast will be made available on our BFM app. Thank you for listening, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.